Welcome to another episode of the Roundtable Podcast on Roundtable Radio. I am Jules.
And I am Gideon.
And we are here with the guys from Hill Valley Lightning. How are you guys doing today?
Excellent.
Good.
Let's talk a little bit about how the band started up. What got you guys together in the same room?
Wow, that's kind of a long story. I guess I started out trying to write songs by myself that would fit my voice, because I've tried to write pretty much every style possible. And I just started singing some Elvis kind of stuff one day, and it worked. But I sent it to the radio station, the college radio station in London.
Oh, sure.
And they played it, they liked it, and they said, hey, can you guys do a show? You guys being just me, but they didn't know that. And I said, sure, no problem. So then it was pretty much the matter of just scraping together some guys as fast as possible.
And so you scraped the bottom of the barrel. These are what you came up with.
We're just as puppets.
That's how it started, with just a couple demos sort of thing, right? And
sure.
And then I went to school with Cam, the drummer, and the drummer knew Evan, basically, by association with Tristan.
Yeah.
And then I played drums in a punk band called The Stragglers, and Eric was our bass player, and he saw us and
loved it.
Thought that it was special.
I was playing bass at the
part
time.
Of that. Oh, yes.
He wanted to replace me.
Terribly, I might add. But you do much better on guitar. That's good.
Thank you.
Nice.
We're friends now.
So you guys are all multi-instrumentalists then. What do you play? Let's go through and talk about what you've played in what bands.
I guess really the only bands I've played in of any
high
note.
High school bands too.
Oh, yeah. Okay. In high school, I played in... you asked what I... play. I played piano my whole life. Then when I was in high school, I decided I wanted to play guitar because it seemed much cooler.
A little more portable.
Yeah, exactly. And so I started I played guitar for about a year and then started a ska band because I was a band geek and I had lots of band geek friends that played horns and they were awesome. They weren't geek, they were awesome.
And, awesome geeks? Those exist.
So I had a ska band in high school, but since then, moving to London many years later, I played in a punk band on drums called The Stragglers, and now guitar and singing. And
Jay can play anything, though. I started out on piano when I was really young, and then moved to guitar in grade 2 and started playing bass in like grade 8. Mm-hmm. A couple things in high school, like most of us, I think. And then mostly just bass since like grade 8, though. I don't know about Evan.
Yeah, I've kind of been a bedroom guitar player for a long time, and a friend told me about Tristan, the old guitar player, told me about Jake and recruited me on bass. And
have you heard about Jake?
Yeah. And so I started playing bass for Backseat Bingo, it was then called.
Oh yes.
And switched to guitar.
We thought it was kind of lame. We didn't think Bingo had any sort of relevance with a rock band these days. So,
well, it's great for the like over 50 crowd maybe, but
yeah.
Which is our prime demographic, really.
Although I think our grandparents like what we do, because we do some older style ballads and stuff, so mm-hmm. It's likable for everybody, I think.
Yeah, and you said it facetiously, but I'm sure that like the rockabilly sound does resonate with a wide age range as well too, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I think like I don't want to be in a scene, and I never have. So, like, in that sense, we are kind of a scene band, but I like that younger people and older people can like us.
Excellent. So, when you guys are in a creative mode writing songs, what's the process like for you?
Because I didn't know these guys when we started, a lot of the songs originally were just me. Like, I made demos with drums and stuff like that, but they're pretty bare bones, just the idea. So we've written some newer songs since then, since everyone's been together. And I'd say, like, even Last Touch, Evan, you had the idea for
the one note we played,
the main riff part or whatever, and he brought that, and then, you know, we email back and forth sort of thing, and then I figured out stuff, and then Eric picks up things immediately, and I don't know. What's our process?
I don't know. Well,
we're all really, like, these guys are really good musicians, so we can just kind
of... So much of the stuff we're doing now is, like, based on the stuff you originally wrote, so mm-hmm. we're kind of progressing forward from that now onto probably our next recording. It'll be more collaborative in the future,
I think. Yeah, anyone can get the ball rolling.
And there's no rule to it, it sounds like. It's just sort of a free-flowing thing, right?
Yeah, it's best very much that way, for sure.
Done you wrong? Who done you wrong? Something ain't right. Who broke your song, girl? Come on and fix it tonight. Oh, I see you feel that, honey. You need his money. One dance and you'll see. Don't worry your mind, sugar, you'll be fine. So come up, come over to see. Set my heart on you tonight. Well, I know you'll take it, but it ain't right. No, I see him looking all over at the other girls. Don't you wanna take a look at me? Your pretty hair is wasted, honest, loose eyes, baby. All I see is you and me.
What's the dynamic like in the practice room? Do you find you're like getting right down to business, or are you like goofing off?
I think we screw around for about 70% of the time we're in there. Yeah.
I usually spend about a full hour looking for mic cables, and actually, while I'm looking for them, I forget what I'm even looking for, and it takes forever. I'm a bit all over
for
the
beer,
place.
Right?
Basically, behave.
Why are we here again? Oh yeah, band practice. That's me.
Basically behave like a bunch of 6-year-olds, inspired by our drummer, who's the most immature adult I think I've ever met in my life. But
the
we
leader,
love it.
Though.
Yeah,
basically, it's a lot of yelling into microphones.
Yeah, and, making strange noises into microphones and amusing ourselves while people tune.
If we can say something incredibly raunchy and dirty in harmony, then we'll do that for about half the band practice.
I've found with a lot of bands that there ends up being sort of two different processes that you can take when it comes to songwriting, and that is that you're intentionally going and trying to write a specific genre or style, or that you just, you know, have a big melting pot of music inside of you and it comes out. Which is it for you guys?
We actually sit down purposely and try to write something different than we've done before. Like, if we had, like, we had a couple of rockabilly songs and we hadn't done a 50s ballad, and I think we purposely sat down and said, let's do something different. We always want to try to do something we haven't done before.
Yeah.
I think we in general love like oldies, and you know, if we don't have a Beach Boys type song, let's try to do something Beach Boys or like Roy Orbison or whatever. Just try to change it up as much as possible, though.
It's tough because there's such a tight crowd of rockabilly people, you know, dress that way, try to buy the car, whatever. And I don't think we want to be that. That's too constrained, so we just want to explore as much as possible.
I couldn't help but notice that none of you has a pompadour.
Yeah.
For all those of you who can't see them, you know, it's okay. Don't worry.
I'm just going to leave my hat on.
No, absolutely. And that does give you a much huger range. You know, if you think of country fans versus pop country fans or something like that, you've just, you know, open it up to everyone all of a sudden by saying, well, you know, they're not really a rockabilly band, they're not really a punk band, they're not really a rock and roll band exactly, but they have all those things in there.
Yeah. I've often wondered if our songs are, you know, too all over the place, but really at the end of the day, I think we can all say we're in this band first and foremost for ourselves. Yeah. And if other people like it, awesome. You know, so we're going to write what we like to write, and hopefully it works.
The biggest thing, yeah, I'm just really happy we have a recording that ourselves are happy about. And if it goes somewhere, then cool. But if it doesn't, then it's just nice to have something, you know, 20 years from now we can give to family members or whatever and be proud of. That's the biggest thing for me, I think.
Yeah. And it sounds like this, the creative process and branching out into everything you can find is very much that personal process and a little bit of musical ADD. But is there any element of like writing for the audience and writing with the intention of somebody other than yourselves enjoying it?
I don't think so.
Not now. I don't know. Because when I wrote these songs, we didn't have that experience, right? It was just...
Yeah, it was just you in a living room, right?
Exactly. So I didn't. There wasn't that context to write songs within. But I still couldn't imagine really not like I don't care about the audience. I mean, really respect people like us, but certainly not trying to do something for them.
Absolutely. And at that point, you know, it's about why you started to play music. Mm-hmm. Did you want to make some art and be satisfied in your own output? Or was it, you know, I'm going to go make $1 million and play pop music and do what people like, you know?
when it comes to like live shows, or if when we're thinking about what we might like promote to a radio station, we're going to be considering like what of our material is are people most going to like. Mm-hmm. But I think that's as far as it goes. Like,
I think we're conscious about like just writing for playing live. Like, we tend to write mm-hmm. more up-tempo stuff. So in that sense, we're writing for the audience.
Let's talk about the creative place you come from, because some bands we've talked to, one guy, he can only write when he's just broken up with someone. One guy can only write when he's doing the dishes. Have you got like one place or headspace that's your most creative?
I don't know.
It's not really personal, I don't think, usually, is it?
Well, some of the songs definitely are. They're written in a place like that. But then we've other songs are just made up situations. So it's I'm kind of all over the place on that. Yeah. Sometimes I like just to imagine a story in my head and then write it, you know, into the form of a song where I might be the main character, but it's not necessarily me I'm talking about.
Sure. So you're just kind of, if at any point you're taken by an idea, you just go with it. It's not a specific environment that stimulates you.
No, I mean, some of the stuff is definitely about my personal life to some extent, but a lot of it isn't too. So it's a bit of both, I think.
Yeah. And you can't not write about your own experience. I mean, it's you writing it, right? So
exactly.
Yeah, I don't think most people sit down and say, let's think of something that's totally not from my perspective.
Well, I have made a conscious effort. I think that there are a lot of bands who, and not knocking them in any way, but they have lyrics that are purposefully not obvious. so you can't really get what they're talking about.
Sure, or they're very general so that they can be sort of applied.
Which is cool. Yeah. I mean, there's a definite art to that, and you can create a mood or something without really setting in on something specific, and that's awesome.
Oh, absolutely.
But I've never been afraid of just, you know, saying kind of directly what I'm feeling or what I'm thinking, because I think people relate to that as well, and it...
Absolutely, and it's raw, and people get that you're exposing yourself, and that makes it more, well, of a certain style anyways.
Yeah,
Jake loves exposing himself.
I do.
Now, with the free-flowing creative style, I'm sure that there's, like, every now and then there's something that doesn't jive with everyone. How do you handle criticism within the band?
I think generally we're pretty good.
I think if we disagree, it's generally democratic. Like, I remember there's been a couple things where I was pretty opinionated, but... The rest of the band, we basically did a vote, and you're outvoted, but it's okay. It's not a big deal. Like, we're pretty on the same page in terms of writing, but generally it's a democracy as much as we can have with four members.
Yeah, it's almost first and foremost for me in a band is getting along with people to the point where you can say that and maybe, like, create a little moment of controversy, but it goes away and everything's cool again. We need to be able to all say what we think, or else...
If there's no chemistry, if you're not being yourself, then you're not being yourself in your music, and it's nothing's going to work.
So sometimes it's a compromise, but like you said, it's democratic. You know, we try to just take everyone's opinion into consideration. And
Sure. No haste.
How do you say what's right and wrong in music, right? You can't. So it's just the best way to do it.
Well, you don't play a minor scale in a major key, Jake.
Why not? Why not?
It's breaking the rules.
I don't care. I'm gonna.
Well, the conflicts are coming up left, right, and center. No. What do you guys consider to be your definition of success as a musician?
My personal, if we could do like a tour across Canada, U.S., maybe have like 50 to 100 people show up at places everywhere, that'd be pretty awesome. Not that that's really what I'm aiming for. I think that's even what's going to happen for us, but that would be pretty awesome. That'd be a sweet thing, I think.
Yeah, just making music and getting it out there. And if someone who lives far away from us, who isn't our friend, comes to our show, like one or two people, wicked, you know, that's awesome. So just getting some exposure and hopefully a couple people like it. That, and I'd really like a sponsorship from McDonald's for free chicken nuggets if I get that.
I think we all are on the same page. We all like very chicken specific. Nuggets a lot. Yes. We were discussing chicken nuggets on the way here.
I think we're going for a fan pack after
this.
We're
going to get a 20-pack later.
Yeah, of course.
That's why we need a sponsorship.
Your first album, the one that was released this December, you were saying that you kind of wrote it in a vacuum, and a lot of it was just a personal process, but you've already started writing your next work.
Ideas, like sketches of ideas kind of thing, we haven't really. Because our drummer's up in, like I said, Thunder Bay right now, so it's kind of just trying to get some stuff ready before he comes back in April.
Right. We haven't really buckled down yet. Like, we have a couple rough ideas floating around, but we got to really sit down and start working on it, I think. Mm.
Do you feel like that's leading to a big change in direction for the band?
I think it's hard to say.
It's hard to say a change in direction when we try to vary it up as much as we can on the first record. Like, I think it's going to be kind of more of the same. We'll probably
if our direction is being random, then we're staying in the same direction, I guess.
Did I lose my mind? Was that trigger finger mine? I heard the shot as his body dropping. Ooh, it felt so fine. But death row ain't gonna go. Cause if there's one thing I know, the devil ain't gonna settle, ain't gonna wait for me no more. He the devil, he the devil, he's got the river Styx, he's got the lunatics, he's got the blood red sand in his hand, he's got a ticket for me next, whose claws they dig so deep, I feel them in my sleeve. The devil has come to settle, has come, he's taking me for keeps. He the devil, And it's the last night before the fires, and I'm sleeping on a bed of coals, and I'm painful on my desires, and so I stole. My mind was that trigger finger of mine. I heard the shot as his body dropping. Ooh, it felt so fine. But death row ain't gonna go. Cause if there's one thing I know, the devil ain't gonna settle, ain't gonna wait for me no more. I'll be the devil, yeah. And it's the last night before the fire, and I'm sleeping on a bed of coals, and I'm painful on my desires, and the soul I stole. He the devil, yeah. He the devil, yeah. He the devil, yeah. He the devil,
And what was the process of recording the album like for you guys?
It was good. I mean, we did it live off the floor, except for the vocals and a couple guitar overdubs. But with the two guitars, bass and drums, we did it all at once, live off the floor.
Drums too, right?
Yeah, everything. We just got in a room and played together. We spent, I think, we did 10 songs in like 5 hours, maybe.
Yeah, you can feel that energy.
Yeah, I think we're done. Well, that included setup time and everything, so it's pretty quick.
Because we'd done them enough live that we could do that, and then it was just a matter of overdubbing the vocals, and we put in like a bit of organ and piano, a few little details, but the
juice
raw
it up a little, yeah.
Yeah, like no click track, you know, just playing it the way we play it, and that made it enjoyable. I could see it being a lot more frustrating maybe if we did do the one track at a time, because it would feel artificial. It wouldn't really feel like how we are live, so it was it was awesome.
Cool. Cheap way of doing it, though.
And cheaper.
To do all the bass tracks and like...
Yeah. Yeah, well, this music, too, lends itself to that kind of setup. I mean, some music is more produced, and it's understandable.
Absolutely. Sometimes you really want to hear that heavy production, but, you know, in this sort of music where a lot of the time you hear, you know, garage bands in this style and stuff like that, if you're tight enough to record live off the floor, then that's really the only issue.
Yeah,
exactly. I feel a bit of sense of pride too when we can put it on the back sleeve, recorded live off the floor. Not many people can do that.
I'll admit that. I feel a bit of pride too.
So it's kind of nice. Yeah.
Yeah. An LP is kind of a big deal these days. A lot of bands we were talking off air are gearing more towards EPs and singles. What led to the full album for you?
We had enough material. I think that's basically what it was. And we had enough material we wanted to get out there. And so we thought, why not do a full length? Especially with the live off the floor thing. It was like, we might as well do 10 songs.
And also, I think we do have quite a bit of variety in our music. I mean, like, we obviously have influences from the 50s, but I still think we're a little bit all over the place. And
definitely.
Without a full album, I don't know if we'd really be able to showcase that. So with a full album, we can really demonstrate
and,
what we're like.
Sorry if I misheard you, but did you say that the process of recording took 10 hours?
No hours.
Well, the original tracks, and then doing the vocals and other stuff really didn't take that long either. It was the mixing that took the most time.
Little things,
yeah
our vocals, we need help, so it took a little while, but lots of layers and stuff.
Yeah.
Do the songs come out of the studio the same way they go in, or do you find that you add and change actively while you're recording?
Nothing really changed when we went into the studio. Jake went to Berkeley for songwriting, right? Was that what was it for?
It was
composition.
Composition, yeah. Not really songwriting, more arrangement and stuff.
So I mean, we didn't really need much of a production help. I think once we got in there, we had it all pretty settled as far as like song structure and everything.
I feel it's worth noting with the, this is like the anti-academic venture of mine. Like I really try not to think of that stuff too much.
It sounds like then that the recording process is very much different from the practicing process. There was no dicking around. Just get to work and do it, right?
Yeah, there was. I mean, there were certain times we had to say like
there was time for dicking around too. I think.
I think we had to remind
ourselves.
Always
time.
Yeah,
that was purely for amusement, as opposed.
Let's not kid ourselves.
We spent like more time trying to get the hand clap sound right than I think anything.
Oh God,
else.
It was torture. Yeah, it was terrible. I think we got it.
We had to overdub hand claps, and that took a while.
Who knew hand claps?
You first record them, and it just sounded like. You know, well, I don't want to say what it sounded like. Yeah.
What did it sound like, Jake?
You mentioned slapping a fish. I think that.
Let's dig a little deeper back now. And what made you guys individually want to be a musician? What drove you to say
Fred Penner?
Hey, that's cool, or whatever.
That's what it was for me, Fred Penner. I remember, I don't know how old it was, 2 or 3, and him grabbing his guitar from underneath. What was it, a log or something? I think he grabbed it from underneath a log, and I got this little guitar. It didn't even function as a proper guitar. It just was this thing with
strings.
3 strings, probably. And I used to pretend I was Fred Penner, pulling it out from underneath this chair that was in our living room.
My sister used to dress me up in a tutu and make me sing the song from Dirty Dancing. So that probably is why I got into music as a young man.
Really?
I thought you're still in it voluntarily.
I thought that's the story of how I was traumatized to hate music forever.
No, awesome. I just love music as long as I can remember. I remember at a very, very young age just listening to music and being like I could just sit in my closet and listen to a Walkman to like anything, and it's so far back I barely even remember.
Just love it. Yeah,
I was lucky to have a piano in the house at a young age, and I just used to mess around on it and
sure,
you know,
make noise. Evan?
Yeah, I was hanging out with lots of people in high school who are musicians, and just sitting around with guitars and trying to figure out songs was really fun. So that's kind of how I originally got into it.
Yeah, if I can turn it into something that gets me paid, then so be it.
Oh yeah, that'd be great.
One day, right?
Baby, don't keep me away from being the kind of guy that keeps your heart beating. I won't walk away from the day that you fell for me. Whoa. We'll be right back.
And of course, the best way to do that is the live show, which I want to talk about a little bit next. What do you do to get ready to play live, first of all?
Always beers. A couple beers, at least.
We usually cram a practice in. Since half of us in Toronto area, when Cam's down here anyway, the drummer, and half of us are in London, so we don't actually practice that much. Okay. We kind of cram stuff in, like before we recorded, we get everything, and then when it comes to live shows, we usually just try to get in a practice.
Freshen up.
Literally the day of the show, and then, yeah. We don't have like a chant or any special
secret
sort of
handshake.
Routine.
Maybe we should.
Yet.
You guys have any suggestions?
But if we did, we wouldn't tell you anyways, so maybe we do.
It's true. Yeah, we're not in the band, so it's privileged information.
So what's on the horizon for the band these days? What's coming up?
We were talking about maybe doing like a week-long East Coast thing. We really got to send out our album to some like local college stations around Canada. We got to maybe next weekend.
Now we're trying to promote.
Yeah,
I guess.
I've been trying to promote for the last few months. And
just want to get
some shows coming up in Toronto, at least.
Get more exposure.
Our drummer being up in Thunder Bay at school kind of gives us time to do that. So working on writing, and hopefully when he gets back, have some songs together that we can think about a new album, but maybe try them out first, doing some live shows and a tour. And then once we're done that, we can, you know, they'll be good for recording and go and record them.
That's a very glass half full answer, and I like it. Just because you're like, you know, it's okay that our drummer's not here. We'll just do other
band work better
stuff.
Without him anyways. It's fine.
And it's something I've noticed, and as a non-musician, it actually kind of surprises me, but a lot of the bands I talk to these days seem to not need to practice together as much. I mean, I'm sure you practice all individually. It's not just like, get on stage and start making music.
I don't practice our songs ever.
I don't ever practice my instrument. Like, in terms of like actually just sitting down at home and playing bass, I haven't done that in like a dozen years, I don't think.
Wow.
Like, when we're together, we'll jam and stuff. Or
everything in life I cram for, including music, I think. Mm-hmm. Basically, I do it when I need to.
Yeah, same.
Not because I don't, but I sit down and just, like, play guitar or, like, make things up. Like,
try to write stuff.
I do that, but I don't really
fake it
practice.
Till you make it, man. And if you can, you know, if it sounds good, who fuck cares, right?
although, in honesty, I'd like to practice more than I do. I just don't.
Well, we'll talk about this afterwards. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us on this fine Monday evening.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
I think you guys were excellent. We are the Roundtable Podcast, and if you would like to submit a song, book an interview, or tell us what we're doing wrong, you can email us at indieroundtable@gmail.com. That's indieroundtable@gmail.com. We'll be back next week with another fantastic episode of the Roundtable Podcast. And until then, check out our app in the App Store. It is available for both Apple and Android devices. It is free. All you have to do is search Roundtable Radio, and you will get all of our archives, all of our goodness, and our ugly mugs. Until then, happy listening.
We have mugs? Awesome!
Light is beaming, can't escape this feeling. As I ride and deal in her demise this evening, my heart's gonna fight tonight. My mind's always right till the end's in sight. If words were reversed, would it end this fight? Under the hard moonlight, I'm working hard, not seeing. I'll push away this feeling. The future that you're grieving, you know it's my glass ceiling. My heart's gonna fight tonight. My mind's always right till the end's in sight. If words were reversed, would it end this fight? Hard moonlight. light is beaming, can't escape this feeling. Bulls I ride and dealing, her demise this evening. Round and round, I stumble up and down this road too many times before. This beating heart's refrain, you know it can't contain this gold. It grows so old. My heart's gonna fight tonight. My mind's always right. To the hands inside, if words were a verse, would it end this fight? Under the hard moonlight.